So did you hear Elijah's heart cries? Could you understand where he was coming from? Have you at times felt called to do something, stepped out in faith, and found it didn't turn out quite the way you expected? Or had events in life leave you questioning, what is God actually doing? What am I doing here? Have you had times when you were sure that God was answering your prayer and felt very close to God? And have you had times where prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling and you wonder if God has heard, if God can answer? These times when God can feel very far away. Although I have experienced both, I've had profound experiences of God's presence and of God's silence. I confess I found it is easier to trust that God is leading and with me when things are going well. What about you? Very easy to say, things are going well. I know I'm doing what God wants me to do. I know God is with me. But when cancer is diagnosed or loved ones die, or when relationships are falling apart, it feels sometimes like God is far away. If this sounds like your walk in faith from the ups to the downs, take heart, because Scripture is full of stories of people who have that very same experience. Throughout Scripture, God continues to reassure disappointed, discouraged pilgrims that God will never leave them or forsake them, that God will never leave us or forsake us, that God is with us in good times, but also in the difficult times, and that difficult times will come. These stories of real people in the Bible tell us of people who come to a profound understanding of God's presence with them in their very real lives. They help us to see that there are times when even the most faithful need to be reminded that God is with them. Even the most faithful need to be reminded that God is with us. So we turn to that story of Elijah this morning. Elijah was called by God to conduct a showdown with Baal. It resulted in a spectacular display on a mountaintop, revealing God's power for all who cared to see. And it should have been a high point, should have been, in Elijah's career. Vindication of Elijah's trust in God. Proof that this was the only way forward. But it wasn't that way. Elijah had thought that when Baal did not show up, when the prophets of Baal were killed, that he would usher in a new era of faithfulness to God among the Israelites. But afterwards, it seemed like nothing had changed. It seemed like Elijah had tried his best and failed. The people did not rise up against Jezebel or her worship of Baal. They did not with one accord worship God. Instead, when Jezebel took action to have Elijah killed, no one seemed ready to defend Elijah. So Elijah ran for his life into the wilderness outside the promised land. Now, as we heard, the wilderness is a place where people of God are tested, where they are left open to the elements and more dependent on God. As such, wilderness experiences challenge and change people. In the wilderness, Elijah was out of steam, out of hope, out of vision for the future, and he prayed for death. But God was with Elijah even as he ran away, even as he awaited death. And God provided food and drink for Elijah. Even though Elijah would use the strength he got from that food to run further away. After 40 days, Elijah found himself in a cave near the top of a mountain, Mount Horeb, called the Holy Mountain, Mountain of God, or you might know it as Mount Sinai. He huddled in a cave there. He was weighed down by a sense of failure, and it was then that he heard God's voice. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" It seems that God is wondering why his prophet is not where he should be. I think God might already know, don't you? But Elijah was endued prophetic things. Elijah's answer, though, came deep inside of him from his hurt. He said something like, I have spent my whole life and energy serving you, God. In case you missed it, the people of Israel no longer live according to the covenant that you made with them and they made with you. They have ruined places of worship to you. They have killed those who serve you, and they want to kill me. I am all alone. What I do makes no difference at all. There's no one else left. I've done my best, and I am done. So over it. I wonder if you've ever felt like that. Felt discouraged and wondered, what's the point in doing anything? If so, you may resonate with the next part too. Elijah didn't stop with those words, but continued. I'm here hiding in a cave not because I want to be, but because they will kill me if I go back. And it looks like you're going to let that happen, God. Wow. That's more than discouragement. It's anger with God, and Elijah dared to speak like that to God. Now, it seems that God is not as quick with lightning strikes as I might be tempted to be if somebody spoke to me like that. God does not strike impertinent and disrespectful prophets very easily. But notice God doesn't apologize or explain what God is doing or has done. Although he doesn't strike Elijah, he doesn't answer his questions either. Instead, he answers Elijah's unspoken desire, the cry of his heart, for God to be present in a way that he could understand. He needed something to hold on to. God commanded Elijah to go out of the cave. By the way, read it again, it doesn't seem that he did. But still, there was a hurricane force wind. Surely this wind was of God, but God was not specially present in that wind. Nor was God specially present in the earthquake. Unlike the burning bush, God was not specially present in the fire either. But then there was silence. There was stillness. And in that silence, Elijah came from the cave. Whether it was a whisper, sheer silence, or stillness, perhaps Elijah came out wondering if God had left him alone in anger. But to the contrary, Elijah found that in this stillness, in this silence, Elijah knew God's presence. He covered his face in reverence. There, sheltered in God's embrace, Elijah answered God's question again, just as he had before. And although none of the circumstances had changed, although the facts, excuses, the danger remained, something had changed for Elijah on that mountaintop. Again, God didn't explain away the problem, didn't justify God's action or inaction. Instead, he sent Elijah back to where he had been. He sent him back to anoint kings and prophets, to lead a community in faith. In other words, he sent Elijah back to be the prophet he was called to be, to do what he was called to do for God, in God's strength, regardless of whether he understood or not. This time, Elijah did what God commanded. And as he did, he found that he had been wrong, that his vision and understanding had been limited. He found that his actions were not pointless, nor was the situation in Israel hopeless. There were thousands who remained faithful to the living God and worshiped God alone. They were waiting for God's word to come to them from Elijah. There was a successor to Elijah's prophetic ministry waiting to be mentored by Elijah, already being prepared. Far from being absent or having given up, God was continuing to work behind the scenes, using hands and feet of ordinary people, people like you and me, people like Elijah or Paul, trusting that through them, God could make a difference in the world, make a difference in people's lives, make a difference in people. People who would follow God's way in the world, who would be able to trust the shepherd in good times and difficult, even though they need reminders from time to time. The truth of the journey of faith is that it will not always be easy. Your faith or mine is lived in the real world. Fear, disappointment, anger, and loss can blind us to the ways that God is working in and around us. It may lead us to believe that either God is no longer with us, or what we do makes no difference. Regardless of how things may look to us or feel for us, God does not give up on us or our world. In fact, people of faith of all times have experienced those ups and downs. People like Elijah, but also like people in the early church. And even Jesus cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's a down if you've ever seen one. You see, our faith is a lived reality. Our journey of faith is affected by situations in our lives. We can be discouraged when things do not turn out as we expect. But not feeling, perceiving God's presence doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. We are not alone. Regardless of how alone we feel, God is with us, often working in ways we cannot see or feel. So what we can learn from Elijah and others in Scripture is that ups and downs are part of the faith journey. Too often, we think of maturing faith as moving up a ladder. We don't go back down, we just keep getting higher and higher, right? To the mountaintop where we'll stay in communion with God forever. It's a beautiful dream, but I have found being faithful is often less like climbing a ladder and more like playing snakes and ladders. We trust more in God's faithfulness than in our appearance of success in this journey. We are never beyond the reach of God is another lesson. God continued to provide for Elijah even when Elijah was running away from God. In fact, God gave him the tools to keep running. But God was there. And in fact, what seemed like Elijah running away in God's grace became a journey to God led by God. Became a journey to God, led by God. You see, in life, in good times, in difficult times, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. God's grace continues with us. Number three, Elijah reacted to the situation, but was not defined by his running away, even though he did it. He messed up. But in that messing up, he learned to respond to God in a new way, and he became defined by his trust in God's faithfulness. Although it looked bad for Elijah for a while, he still had a future, a ministry, a job to do. God could still use him. No matter where we are in life, God continues to provide for us, calls us to respond. Now, the truth is that that happens to us as individuals. We go up and down in faith. It can also happen to groups of people. David's psalm, the 23rd psalm, has been repeated by congregations of God for over 3,000 years because it resonates, because we need to be reminded God is with us in good times and bad, in life and death. In the early church, there were also times when they were so discouraged by persecution, by loss, by lack of understanding of what God was doing, by lack of vision of what was coming next. So we as a congregation find ourselves once again in transition, a time of upheaval. Not exactly a mountaintop experience, is it? Such times can be like wilderness times, when we feel like we're wandering again, when we feel like we're vulnerable, when we feel like we might be being defined by loss or disappointment. The story of Elijah reminds us that wilderness times are also times where we can be led to be more dependent on God for the journey. Remember also, wilderness times are not defined by a clock or calendar, but are God times, 40 times. They're times that happen in God's time. In such times, in God's grace, we are on a journey to God, led by God, to more faithfulness in God lived in our lives. Unfortunately, at such times, there's a strong temptation to be like Elijah, to want to run away, to act on disappointment, to give up in case our actions are taking us nowhere. But we follow the one who cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? We follow the one who then followed God to a cross, to resurrection, to new life, to new hope for the world and for us, just as God continued to be present with Elijah, providing for the journey through hands of others. God is with us, continuing to use our hands and feet, the hands and feet of others, to provide for us, to encourage us. God comes to us asking, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, St. Andrews? The truth is, God can use each of us in this time, where we are, and take us where we should be, to use our actions and words, our prayers and our faith, to move towards the future that God has already in store. There's much work for us to do together. God is already preparing the way forward. Searching for a new minister is not taking a step backwards, but one more step on a journey of faith, and a journey of faithfulness for us at St. Andrews. It's one more step towards the whole vision of ministry south of Fish Creek, continued strong ministry for all ages in this community. One more step towards the future of ministry in the neighborhood, in Calgary, and in the world. So let's take heart. In this wilderness time, let's listen for God's voice, and let's move together. Move forward together, confident that God is with us, that we are being led each step of the way. For the truth is, we are not alone. God is with us.